has joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I think you're the first.
Oh, there's another.
Oh, okay. That's a surprise.
No, it's Malcolm.
Well, it's still a surprise because this class, it's taken me 3 weeks to be able to give it.
I know. I just came in, so I had to rush. 1 minute to one.
Well, we'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu. Leakta l'shem yudhei bovavhe, v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah, v'ayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kananeihu. Today's class can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in the left column in row 17. It's basic class number 17 regarding Shabbat. This class is normally done in two parts, having to do with an overall discussion of Shabbat, and the second part with the different rituals associated with Shabbat. But we're going to try and do it all together, and if we can't, we'll come to terms with it. Shabbat has a metaphor to describe what it is, what happens. But it's actually not a metaphor. It is what happens. The metaphor is you're in an airplane with about 400 other people. And this is getting ready to take off. You are thinking about your family, which is at home, your day at work, your plans at your destination, the excitement of the trip, and many other levels of things that affect your consciousness. Now the plane starts to speed down the runway. It is rolling slowly at first, and then it goes faster and faster and faster until it is starting to approach the liftoff speed. Yet it is still attached to the ground until the moment of liftoff. Then it sails away into the atmosphere and eventually into space. That's in a future of plane development. Inside the plane, all of those thoughts go away with the sounds of the bump, bump, bump of the plane traveling down the runway. And at the moment of liftoff, silence, along with the serenity of the end of the week, and a joy of going home, being at home, This metaphor is describing the gift of Shabbat. What actually happens? At the moment of the entry of Shabbat, which is the moment of the liftoff of the airplane we describe, the physical world rises out of itself and arrives at a place of unity with the spiritual world. This unity happens automatically at the moment of Shabbat, coming in the frame of time. As long as one does not disconnect with an action that separates one from the spiritual consciousness, then they stay connected to Shabbat and to the higher level worlds throughout the 25 hours. If one does an action that separates one from the consciousness of spirituality, then one literally falls into this empty space that was left because of the rise of the physical world. And this is why it is referred to as guarding Shabbat. The word is Shomer Shabbat. One is guarding the empty space to make sure people do not fall to their harm. Why? One meaning of the word Shabbat is week, as in the time of 7 days. But also Shabbat relates to space. Also, Shabbat relates to holiness. In modern world, science speaks of space-time, and that is a good translation for Shabbat, although that is not yet acceptable to the religious people. Preparation for Shabbat. Is it necessary or not? Preparation for Shabbat enhances the Shabbat joy. Preparation for Shabbat also enhances the joy one will feel after the Mashiach. This statement is repeated in the writings of many sages. When you prepare for Shabbat week after week after week, you are preparing for the Shabbat that's associated with Mashiach. And you elevate the capacity to feel joy because you're building your vessel to hold that light that will bring the joy. Preparation for Shabbat. How? Shabbat has many rituals and many levels of consciousness. The Zohar explains that there are 10 items that people need to do, need to perform an action to connect to the energy of Shabbat completely. If you don't do all 10, you don't connect to all of the energy of Shabbat. If you do one and not the other 9, you're still connecting to the energy of Shabbat, just not all of it. Step 1, prepare a table that gives honor to the king. It means that it should be special and better than the one that we prepare during the weekdays. There is a difference between prayers during the regular days of the week and prayers on Shabbat. There is a difference between meals that you eat on Shabbat and the regular days of the week when you eat. There is a difference when you study the Torah or the Zohar on Shabbat and the study that you do during the week. Another step for Shabbat is to wash your hands before the meal. The two hands have 10 fingers that represent the 10 sephirot. They also represent the 10 sayings of the action of creation. The actions of creation is the phrase, "And Hashem said, let there be." Your hands, the fingers of your hands, represent this. Washing hands is an action of purification in preparation for connecting to the energy of creation. Because the Shabbat manifests the energy of creation. The fingers have 14 joints on each hand, and together there's 28, as the number of letters in the first verse of the Torah, and the numerical value of the word koach, which means force or power or strength, which is what energizes creation. So when you wash your hands, you're purifying the vessel, your vessel, to receive the beneficence, the goodness of Shabbat. Now, some people enhance this by going to the mikveh. Some people will address it by taking showers or baths in preparation for the Shabbat. All of this are different levels of purification. And all of these different levels of purification relate to the how well your participation in Shabbat is received by the Shabbat. During the blessing of the hand washing, called Natilat Yadayim, we raise our hands to the level of the eyes to connect to the upper realm, especially the level of consciousness of Chokmah, which is wisdom, and draw from that special force. The following is coming from the Daily Zohar, number 12-91. Step three, the cup, kos, or the blessing of the wine is called kiddush. The numerical value of cup is 86. And this is the same as Elohim. There's a verse in Psalms 116, verse 13. Kos Yeshuot Esa Uveshem Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Echra. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Hashem. The action of washing our hands and lifting our hands to the level of Chokmah, the level of our eyes, is actually manifesting this idea of the cup of salvation and calling upon the name of Hashem. Then we fill the cup with wine to the top, bringing total fulfillment to the vessel. And this is connected to a verse from Deuteronomy. Umale birkat Adonai Yohe wahe adanu yo Yohe dawanu heyo. things to meditate upon as you do the actions. And these three words bring the idea of the translations of full with the blessings of Hashem. We hold the cup with five fingers, connecting the five sephirot of the cup. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod, which connects to the 50 gates of Bina. The blessing and the drinking connect to the five, which is Yesod to Malchut, the five levels of Chasadim. Actually, the way the cup is done, it's filled with wine to the top, to the brim. Some even let it fall over the brim. Then you lift the cup with 10 fingers, both hands touching, all 10 fingers touching the sides of the cup. You transfer to the palm of your hand, so the cup is sitting in the palm of your hand, representing the higher hay, but it's on the lower side, which is demonstrating to us that this world is a upside-down world. So what is high in this world is low in the world that is coming. What is low in the world that is in this world is high in the world that is coming. The cup itself represents the Vav. And your upper hand that you leave momentarily at the top of the cup represents the upper hay. So you start with the Yud, then you have the upper hay, the Vav, and the lower hay. And it's just upside down, but if we turn the cup upside down, the wine would fall out. But the wine cup requires 10 actions that we will explain below if we have time. Before you fill the cup with wine, you need to wash it water both from the inside and from the outside. The Kiddush cup is a tool to draw the light of Bina, and purifying it with water is very important. But of course, nobody would put the Kiddush cup on the table without it being purified, without it being washed. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it again. The inner part of the cup represents our soul, and the outer part represents the body. And both should be pure. Our heart and mind, the inner and the outer actions, should be equal and pure in order to have affinity with the light and to draw it down to our lives. The cup of the Kiddush by itself is one of the 10 things related to the meals of Shabbat. We need to decorate. The sages tell us that we decorate the Shabbat table with students, with people, and with the Zohar reveals that the secret of decoration is the letter Yud. The cup is the aspect of the letter He of the name, while the letter Yud is added to the cup, then it becomes decorated. The consciousness of participating in the Kiddush is how we are decorating the Shabbat table, which is done at the Shabbat table. The letter Yud from Hashem's name was wrapped in light, which is spelled Aleph Vav Resh. And when the Yud is wrapped in the light, it becomes Avir, which is air, which is the central column. This is the light that Hashem wraps himself with when he creates the worlds. This is the light of holiness. O Teror Kashama, who covers himself with light. As with a garment. When God said, let there be light, he let the Yud of Hakma get wrapped around the light and created the physical air, Avir, and without it there is no light. We need air to breathe, to live. The strongest level of Hakma in the air is in Israel, where creation began. That is why Israel is a source of wisdom. And Israel is a source of innovations for the whole world. You can disagree with that statement, but if you really analyze where innovations begin, you'll find they're generally in Israel or among the Jewish people. The wine should be pure and strong. As I was saying, I'm sorry for the delay. The wine the wine should be pure and strong, as if it comes directly from the original barrel. It should be undiluted. We pour the live wine into the cup, but we can add water to balance it. Most of the wines sold today, even though they're marked kosher, they're already been diluted with water. We add a few drops of water to soften and to balance the energy of the left column, which is the wine. Cooked wine, which is another word for pasteurized, does not have the need to add water to it, but it has been diluted by the pasteurization, so it is less energy intensive. And the idea of live wine, uncooked, forms a connection to Yesod, that is the aspect of righteous. And that connects us to Bina, which is life force, and the entire tree of life. The Friday night Kiddush has 70 words. And with the two aspects of the red and white wine, it adds up to 72. It is also the numerical value of the first word of the Kiddush, Vayechulu, which is 72 in Gematria. And Vayechulu represents the name of the world of emanation, Atzilut, which is Hashem's name when spelled out with Yuds. It signifies the connection between the upper and lower levels that is made on Shabbat evening with the Kiddush. The person who says Kiddush needs to have that Kavanah, that understanding and contemplation, as the Kiddush is begun. The wine cup should be filled completely to the top. And we say the following, or we think the following. Umale birkat Hashem. The wine cup is full with the blessing of Hashem. The person holding the cup should be filled with the wine of the Torah. Wine is yayin in Hebrew, yud yud nun, and has the numerical value of 70, the same as sod, the word for secret in Hebrew, referring to the secrets of the Torah. The Torah has 70 faces, meaning inner levels of revelations. We connect to them through the study of the Zohar, and especially the study of the Tikkuni Zohar. The opposite of mila, filled, is alem, the same letters in a different order, which is muted, meaning that a person who is not filled with the Torah secrets, that is from the Zohar, is considered as mute and cannot make the proper spiritual connection in the Kiddush. The wine should be received with two hands, meaning the wine cup, should be received with two hands representing the 10 fingers, and then transferred to the right cup, to the right palm, as described above. The Torah was on two tablets with five utterances each. One person holds the cup with the two hands, with five fingers on each side of the cup. And the host recites the blessing, receiving the cup with two hands, one from the top and one from the bottom, representing the two hays. And then he leaves off or lifts up the top hand So he's just holding the cup in the palm of his right hand. And then you have a unity between the Vav and the He, or the Vav and the lower He, representing the cup on the hand of the host, the one saying the Kiddush. The host should look into the cup while he's holding the cup with his right hand. And the cup is the vessel and the aspect of the land of Israel where the energy flows to the entire world. The eyes are the aspect of Chokmah, and that is the light that is revealed in the land of Israel. And looking into the wine, we draw the light of Chokmah and Bina to the cup that is Malchut. Tamid Eine Hashem Elohecha Ba. This is a phrase. The eyes of Hashem, your God, are always upon it. The wine cup should be raised about 4 inches above the table, and the energy and the blessings from the cup is broadcasted as gifts to the wife, to the family, and to the people assembled for the meal. The dining table should have Torah study, meaning there should be a chumash or a zohar on the dining table so that you can pick it up and start to study at any time. If you're waiting between courses, read from the Zohar to the people at the table. The table itself is the aspect of the left column, which is judgment. And the Chumash, or the Zohar on the table, brings Chesed from the right column. The process of eating is like bringing sacrifices to the altar, to create a spiritual opening and to draw light. And this should be done with spiritual connection by studying the secrets of the Torah, the Zohar. And the Zohar quotes Isaiah chapter 28, verse 8, to describe the tables where people eat without the study of Torah, Chas v'Shalom. The verse is, Ki kol shulchanot Malukiyo Toa Beli Makom. For all tables are full of filthy vomit, and no place is clean. If you don't study the Torah while you're eating, this verse applies to your table. What we just discussed and read about the table explains why it's really inappropriate to allow your toddler to be sitting on the table, to be left on the table. They all like to go there, but it's not a good thing to have happen. Because you literally are putting the child on the altar. And what do people do when they put things on the altar? They're making sacrifices, and you do not want your child to be sacrificed. doing tzedakah by sharing the food with poor people is a good thing to do on Shabbat. Tzedakah adds days to a person's life. The soul enjoys longer life from the study of Torah in this world, and also in the world that is coming. It is the same with giving tzedakah to the poor. Sustaining others by supporting their physical and spiritual life merits the soul of the giver to stand at the time of the resurrection. Before a person comes to enjoy a meal, he should think and share his blessing with others in need. The sixth item related to the meals of Shabbat. The sixth is about the eating the food properly. Food should be ground thoroughly between the teeth. Some say, and some do, 100 bites, 100 chews of the teeth, grinding the food before there's any attempt to swallow the food. The 32 teeth that we have are the aspect of the creation of the world, the 32 gates of wisdom. From the mouth of Hashem came out the 10 sayings of let there be, using the 22 letters of the sacred Hebrew language. We should eat by grinding the food and not by swallowing it. You should chew the food thoroughly 100 times. Vayomer Esav el Yaakov, halitaini na min adam, adom chazeh. And Esav said to Jacob, let me swallow, I pray thee, some of this red, red potage. Esav could not have proper spiritual connection because he was swallowing his food. Our study should also be done by the method of grinding and not swallowing. The Daily Zohar grinds the Zohar paragraph by paragraph without skips. We may not be able to get to the depth of each paragraph, but we are always progressing systematically by the sequential order of the Zohar paragraphs. And this is what we do with our Daily Zohar. The seventh action at the Shabbat meals is the final waters, Mayim Achronim. The Zohar and the sages teach that the process of first waters is related to the washing of the hands before the meal. It is a precept which we do with the blessing of Al Netilat Yadayim. The middle waters is optional, and it is done when we eat dairy followed by meat. The other way around is not kosher. It is better to wash hands in between so we won't mix the two types of energies on our hands. It is also recommended to wash hands between eating fish and meat. And many people will eat a fish course first, followed by an elevation of the soul of the tzaddik that came in the fish. And that's done with alcohol, schnapps. The final waters is a must, and it is the process of washing the fingers before making the final blessing of the meal. In this case, we remove the negative energy of the klipot that is connected to our hands when we eat the physical food to satisfy our physical desires. After washing the fingers, we can proceed to make the final blessing, which is the Birkat HaMazon. Vayitkadishtem v'yitem kedoshim ki kadoshani. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. The instruction above is to be holy is constructed from three words with the same root of kadosh, which is holy. Another aspect of the final waters is revealed in the Zohar. When a man releases semen from his body into the woman's vessel, it is considered as first waters. And this action connects to the precepts of being fruitful and multiplying. The woman's vessel reacts with final waters. The Holy One, blessed be He, produces the middle waters and freezes them to form the body of the child. And this is how our body connects to Chesed. A verse from Job. Alokecha lav tatikeni v'kagvina taktieni. Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Milk is the aspect of semen produced from the body. Cheese is gvina in Hebrew, and it has the word bina and benya, which means a building. Three men sharing a meal should have a cup, which allows them to do zimun. When one eats alone, he doesn't make a kiddush, but three or more should make the higher connection with the kiddush. The Zohar explains that Bina is the third of the 10 sephirot, counting from top to bottom. Because of that, less than three do not require a cup. We amar kadosh, 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 Adonai tzivaot, melo kol haaretz kivodo. And one called unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is Hashem of hosts, the master. The whole world is full of his glory. Holiness is expressed in three, as we do in the prayers of Kedusha, that we recite daily and Keter on Shabbats and holidays. The Torah requires three types of people to read it in holiness: the Kohen, the Levi, and the Israeli. Their initials make the word Kli, Kaf Lamed Yud, meaning a vessel, and they also represent the right, left, and center columns of the Tree of Life. The Bible has three parts: the Torah, the Prophets, and the Writings. The Torah was given on the third month, which is Sivan, the Gemini. A cup of blessing is the aspect of the last he of Yud-Heh Vav-Heh's name. The quantity of wine should be no less than a revi'it log, a fourth log. And log is the volume of a 4x4x4 fingers. There is no exact measurement, and the average of the common known estimation is about 100 cc's of wine. When 10 or more people share a meal, they make the blessing of the food, adding, Mivarech la'elohenu. We shall bless our God at the beginning. And the explanation of doing that in the Zimun is that with 10, we express the 10 letters of the name of Hashem. Yud hey vav hey, when spelled out with yuds. When we do that, then we need to add the name Eloheinu, our God. Some basics before the above, before we go through the process of preparing the wine cup. Shabbat is a weekly 25-hour observance from just before sundown each Friday through the completion of the nightfall on Shabbat. Shabbat is more than just a day off from labor. It is a day of physical and spiritual delights that is meant to illuminate certain key concepts in the traditional Jewish perception of the world. Why is it 25 hours and not 24 hours? Or why is a day not 25 hours in length? This is the real question. In advanced classes, the first series of classes is called the Four Phases. In this series of classes, we discuss five worlds. And five worlds within five worlds is 5 times 5, or 25. And this relates to the 25 hours of Shabbat. Another reason Hashem delights in Shabbat, and when we lengthen Shabbat to be more than one day, either 25 hours, 26 hours, or even longer, we share an energy which Hashem feels as nachut. Nachas will be defined and discussed as writing it down will never be truly understood. Nachas is the pleasure one receives that has no cause. A grandparent looking at a grandchild. What's the cause of the pleasure the grandparent receives? The child is playing on the floor. The child is just laughing and being happy, like all children do. What's making the child happy? What's the cause of that? And what's the cause of the grandparent becoming happy by watching the child? There's really no cause. It just happens. Shabbat is portrayed in the Torah as the pinnacle of the creation of the universe. And its observance can be seen as a reminder of the purposefulness of the world and the role of human beings in it. Shabbat also serves as a memorial to Hashem's act of rescuing the Israelites from slavery in Egypt by setting aside a day for personal autonomy and freedom from the harsh demands of labor. The traditional Shabbat is portrayed in Jewish liturgy and song and story as a day of joy, a sanctuary from work, and even a foretaste of the perfected world that will someday be attained. May it happen tonight. Shabbat, like many important facets of Judaism, has its origins in the Torah, where it is most notable as a day of complete cessation of labor. The prophetic tradition portrays it as a day of pleasure as well. The rabbis spelled out their understanding of the forbidden 39 aspects of labor in a complex series of restrictions on productive activities of many sorts. The 39 forbidden activities relate to the 39 actions of creation performed in the temple service when the temple existed in the physical world. By limiting the 39 actions of creation, one changes the consciousness of the human being. They also prescribed festive meals and ceremonies for every part of the day. The varieties of Shabbat observances and customs over the ages and around the world illustrate the adaptation of children of Israel in many societies to new realities and modern ideas. One constant theme in Shabbat observance across time and territory is the centrality of home life with the family members and guests. Preparation for Shabbat begins as early as midweek in some households, and its arrival is marked by the spiritual illumination of a candle lighting ceremony. Rabbinic tradition mandates three Shabbat meals, two begun with a special kiddush and reciting over the wine, and the third also has a kiddush, but that is what is done as part of the third meal procedure and actually gets manifested after the Arvit prayer. Family meals are occasions for singing, for studying, and for celebrating together, as well as for consuming distinctive Shabbat foods. Shabbat observance in the public sphere is focused on the synagogue, from the lively welcoming service, Kabbalat Shabbat, receiving of the Shabbat, to the pensive farewell ceremony of Havdalah, separating between holiness and mundane. The daily round of prayer services is augmented and endowed with a unique atmosphere. Special melodies and liturgy are used, and the familiar prayers are supplemented with passages in prose and poetry, extolling Hashem for the divine gift of the Shabbat and its delights. At the major worship services on Saturday morning, a portion of the Torah is read aloud as part of a year-long cycle, or a three-year-long cycle, supplemented by a passage from one of the prophetic books called the Haftarah. There are other rituals as well. We're not going to read them because we're out of time. But I recommend you read the balance of this handout to really truly begin to understand the Kavanah involved in each of the steps. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you all a beautiful afternoon. Shabbat Shalom. Shalom Gadol to all.
Thank you, Hanau. Good lesson.
Thank you, Hanau. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. You're all welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.